It is really good to be able to share the Word of God with you this morning, this weekend. It's just such a joy to be able to look into the Word of God. It's almost like it's not even work, you know. It's just a happiness. And I wanted to share with you, been learning a lot this holiday season, looking at all the, you know, stuff from the Nativity. So focus in on love. I'm going to focus in on love, and I really want to get into the heart of love, which is Jesus Christ, what He's done. But there's two versions, I think, nowadays as far as Christmas is concerned, isn't it? It seemed like true in our country. We lived in different countries, and it's not always the same. But I think in our country here, it seems like, are y'all busy with Christmas stuff? How many boxes of candy do you have in your house? I'm serious. I'm not kidding. I have to add 8, something like that. I mean, yeah, this is intense. I told Jill, I said, I'm going to go home and run and work out because we got to eat all that candy and stuff, you know, so we're going to get into it. Cookies, did you guys do cookies this year? Some of us did. Yeah, so that's really cool. That's really nice. And how about the shopping? All the shopping, all the busyness. Oh my goodness. We didn't do that because my kids are getting married. One of my kids are getting married after Christmas. So that's on the 5th of January. So we're not doing all the Christmas shopping, which we've done before. Anyway, so, you know, that's one version of it. And it's this whirl, it's blur, it's shopping, it's doing all this stuff, everything. And, you know, for some, it's like life on credit cards for about a whole month. And you know, it's just all the advertising and everything and all the busyness. So that's one version. The other version, the version I want to focus on, is Christmas. It commemorates something incredible, awesome, beautiful. God Himself came into this world, into this flesh, into this violence, into this pain, into this suffering. And one thing this Christmas in the Advent midweek services and on the weekends as well, it's just been hitting me like a ton of bricks of the raw humanity of the incarnation and the difficulties and the struggles that Mary and Joseph and Jesus and everybody, the shepherds, the innkeeper, and all the things that happened in Bethlehem. I mean, there is just, it's really been blowing me away. You know, sometimes we have halos, like we have these pictures of them and there's halos and beautiful pictures. And okay, I get that. I'm not making fun of anything, please. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, no, for me in my life, I need to know that they were real people dealing with real issues, real struggles, and I need that encouragement. Because I got to deal with family, I got to deal with buying presents, I got to deal with all sorts of things, and that's reality. And it doesn't have a halo on it. I mean, that's just it. So I want to look at a few reasons why, you know, really, why this is so incredibly awesome. And so in your outline, I put 3 points. There's a fourth one that I'm going to tuck in between 1 and 2. And I should have put it in there because it's probably more important than the other three, but so be it. But the first one is God's opening line. It's the incarnation. Christmas is an opening line of God's love letter to the world. It really is. This is love. Not that we loved God. Oh, I love that. Not that we love God. Not that we've done things for God or anything like that. But that He has loved us and He sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for sins. You know, we had a talk on Saturday service. And we were sitting there visiting. Saturday is a little bit casual. It's kind of like this one, only it's a little bit different because the service order is a little bit different. But anyway, so it's pretty laid back, and we're just kind of visiting out there. And for some reason, right before the service gets started, we got off on lighting candles. And I'm telling you, we were talking about the anxiety and the stress that everybody had about making sure these candles are lit and how to light them. And, you know, what happens if you're going to light and the wick goes out and things like that? Oh, my goodness. You know, and I'm thinking, is that really what it's about? I mean, seriously, could we have church if we didn't have this? Could we? I love the poinsettias. They're beautiful. They're gorgeous. I wouldn't change them. I think it's wonderful, and I'm so happy they're here. But is it more? What is it? You know, really, I mean, these are important things to think about, especially when we think about the incarnation and God coming into the world. Sometimes we think about word and sacrament, and I'm not dissing that at all. We think about all the fine points, all the exactness, all the doctrine, all the purity, all this. Now, here's the thing. When God came into the world, He wasn't compelled by any of that. Zero, zilch. Wasn't on His mind. That's not what compelled Him to come into this world. What compelled Him to come into this world was just His character and His character alone. He can do anything He jolly well pleases. He is God. We are His creatures. He is not accountable to anyone. Never will be. Chooses what He wants to do, when He wants to do it, how He wants to do it, in accordance with His desire and His desire alone. He is God. And we can't change that, no matter what the world might think about it. And when He looked at this world when they fell into sin, He could have just annihilated the whole thing and said, you know, this is really just a disaster. And actually, right before the flood, He had that thought. And you could read that story, and He looked at humankind and He said, this is a train wreck. That was a paraphrase. You won't find that in the Hebrew. But He looked at it, and what He actually said was, He said, they never have a good thought in their mind. Never. Never think about anything good. It's evil 24/7. And He said, now here's the line. It broke His heart. It broke His heart. That is powerful. And His heart remained broken until the little baby was born in Bethlehem. And that was the opening line of a love letter where He says, I am coming into this world. I am taking on flesh and blood. And all that compels God is His character. The very character of who He is. And perhaps it's a better way to think about it from the beginning of creation. If you look at creation and you think about when you had your first child, didn't you make everything perfect? Everything perfect. And that's how He did in creation. He had everything all set up. And our modern science just totally loses the point here. That He had all this thing all set up, just absolutely perfect, all in order for the highest point of anything, of everything He made. Actually, James says that we are the pinnacle of all the creation. We're His highest, greatest thing. And He put them right down in the middle of that with everything they needed. They didn't need anything else. Absolutely perfect. It was just His heart of love that He did that. And He loves to see us. He even brought the animals to Him to have Him name them and stuff. And you can see this interaction that was there. It's just gorgeous. And then in the incarnation, He comes right into it. Which leads us right to redemption, which is just love beyond love. It is the true character of God. It just encapsulates everything that motivates Him. And the Scripture tells us God is love. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And you know, the second point that I didn't mention, which is really important, and I'm going to share this with you. We celebrate Christmas that God became a person in order to enter into a personal relationship with us. Now, I know that, and God had revealed that to me. God had brought that into my heart and mind, and it's such a joy to know that I can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I can remember times in my life when I was ashamed to say that. I can remember times in my life at seminary, and I'm around professors of theology and scholars of religion who look down on, you know, they look down upon expressions of religious devotion. And I spoke about Christ, and I spoke about the Son of God, and the second person of the Trinity. And I came to realize when then Christians speak of when Christians speak of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, they're expressing in a different language, in a different culture, different mindset. Maybe not with the fullness of all doctrine and theology, but they are expressing an inner relationship with which theologians have wrestled with and tried to explain and bring out, and indeed also have enjoyed and explored for centuries. You can see this even in our own namesake, Martin Luther. You can see how it just hit him and it just gripped him to walk with Jesus, to talk with Jesus. And it reminded me of a song, you know, to walk with Him and to talk with Him. And to hear that I am His own. That's just a beautiful thought. That this inward union, this personal relationship, is only possible because God became flesh. That's the only way that it has become possible. And our most intimate relationship with God is really only in reality because of this astonishing, impossible event that we celebrate at Christmas. And God entered into our condition. He entered into this beautiful, in Himself, He just entered into this beautiful thought of having a relationship with us. God became one of us, capable of relating to us, understanding everything that we go through as a friend. And even in one of your verses on the back side, you see Jesus, God in the flesh, calls us His friends. And you know, I was thinking about that. That for us in our everyday life, you know, as you are driving and dealing with things, let's say you're driving in the car and you picture Jesus Christ just sitting right there in the passenger seat and you're talking to Him. Hey, that's what it's about. As you're sitting there dealing with difficulties of all family getting together and all the stress and all the anxiety, and you're just talking with Jesus just as if He is right there having that conversation with you. Whatever the situation, it is beautiful to know that our God, the one that fashioned the sun, the heavens, the moon, and everything, timeless as He is, came in amongst the lowly, the humble, the beaten, the hurt. I mean, all of that. That was His passion to do that. And you know, we say it is meet, right, and salutary so to do. It is meet, right, and salutary to walk and talk with Jesus. Because without that relationship that we have, it grows cold and abstract and almost contractual in our relationship with God. And with Jesus, He enters into this world. And we celebrate our relationship that God made it interpersonal. God made it interpersonal and deep. It's passionate. It's intimate. It's characterized not only by our worship, not only by our worship together and our reverence, but also by tender forgiveness and love and compassion. And with Jesus, we have footsteps that we can walk in. And with Jesus, we have a transformative power. We have a different understanding. A power of God that He understands us in our most difficult and trying situations. We celebrate, really, the absolute impossible. The absolute impossible that God is accomplishing the impossible. He is exceeding the hopes of all people. That's really cool. I mean, to think that God limited Himself. God Almighty limited Himself by living in a human body. That He actually came into this body and He purposely brought all the limitations of that body upon Himself. And He did the absolute impossible that within this human body, He was completely perfect. He didn't sin once. He didn't do one error. So He came inside, He took all that on. And we should just cherish this. We as Christians, we should cherish this paradox that God is able to do this, that He's able to live amongst us. And He's able to be totally human and totally identify with us in every way. It's kind of almost offensive to reason. It's an unreasonable reason for the season. That God would actually do this. A notion that He would become flesh and be born. Not coming as like a conquering king or a hero, but as a weeping infant, as a poor carpenter, son of a carpenter, a God that had to endure all the pains and issues, excretions, all the things of this world. No, we should rejoice this amazing paradox. We should celebrate it, for God is able to do this for us. That's what He did. You know, last I just want to share with you, it's amazing. It shows us, God showed us in Christmas really what it means to love. Really what it means to love. Because, no, I think I'm not worth it. You know, I mean, that's reality. You know, it's just like, it's just so awesome that God would look at us like this and He would care for us like this. And He did not give sparingly at all. He gave everything. He gave it all. He gave it all and, you know, didn't think twice about it. He only felt fulfilled by giving it all. He only felt fulfilled by loving that much. He actually came into the trenches, you know, in the warfare. He actually got down in the trenches and lived. And it makes me think, you know, all of us are living down in the trenches. That's where we are. That's where our life is. And if you just stop and think for a moment, I think of the things, you know, that we have to deal with and the things that come against us. Isn't it good that we're not alone in that? We're not alone in that. We have God with us. We have a strength. We have one that cares. We have one that is watching over us. And God wants us to do that. He wants us to sense the compassion that He has for us. To talk to Him. To walk with Him. To know that we are His own. And when that reality begins to hit us, you see, when that reality begins to come into our hearts and minds, that's actually a gift of God's Spirit, that He reveals that to us. We begin to enter into a deeper relationship with Him. This is what many, Martin Luther and many others, they just realize this. And it's such a good and wonderful thing. And God has actually put us in this world, as Karen was saying, to be lights. So, you know, when you have to turn the other cheek, when you have to love, when you have to hope into a situation that looks absolutely hopeless, there you're down in the trenches and you're dealing with it. But our God is faithful. And, you know, He encourages us to live life with this hope, this optimism. He is our beautiful and wonderful God, our beautiful, wonderful Savior. And I really hope and pray that God would encourage you in that and help you. I don't know the trials you're dealing with. I know some of you, and I know some of them that they are, and they're difficult. But you know, what you can see is you can see that God just, you know, picture yourself, just take the hand of Christ and just let His Word encourage you. Let one another as believers encourage us. And as we gather together in worship, let the songs just speak to your heart and mind. Because that's really who you are. You're really that person in Christ that God has made you to be. And this world really clouds that. It doesn't help us to see it a lot. And we just need the refreshment. We need to see what it means to have God with us in the midst of all that life is. May God keep us and encourage us in this. We need this encouragement a lot. And God is faithful. He will bring it. And He will keep us. In Jesus' name, amen.